These revolts in the Arab world may ultimately change the way the arms trade works in the region. The United States is the chief supplier of defense equipment in the Middle East, even selling some non-lethal military goods to the Gaddafi regime in Libya. Those transactions are now suspended, and NPR's Tom Gelton reports that defense sales to other governments are also getting a second look.
U.S. arms sales to Middle Eastern governments have been grounded in certain expectations that well-equipped militaries, for example, help ensure stability in the region. Besides, with their oil wealth, countries in the Middle East were a good market for U.S.-made military products. To an extent, that was even true for Muammar Gaddafi's Libya, a country that became friendlier after Gaddafi renounced any plans for a nuclear weapons program and ended support for terrorism.
As the situation improved, the amount of trade improved.
As an Army Brigadier General Mark Kimmett oversaw security assistance programs for the U.S. military's Central Command, and then as Assistant Secretary of State for Political Military Affairs, Kimmett monitored what, for a time, was a small but growing defense trade with Libya in non-lethal items, spare parts for aircraft, infrared cameras for border security, blasting cartridges for oil exploration.
It was a promising market because we also saw it as a promising relationship.
Kimmett's successor, Assistant Secretary Andrew Shapiro, even visited Libya last year as part of an effort to build better relations and boost trade. A State Department official, however, says the U.S. always made clear that no lethal arms would be sold to Libya until the Gaddafi government improved its human rights record. Other governments, Italy and Russia, were less scrupulous, reportedly providing $10 billion or more in weaponry to the Gaddafi regime. All such transactions are now suspended due to an international arms embargo prompted by Gaddafi's bloody crackdown. And that's just Libya. Lauren Thompson, a defense industry analyst at the Lexington Institute, says that in times of unrest, Western governments generally become cautious in approving new arms transfers.
They either take longer to sign contracts, or they take longer to actually deliver weapons that have been contracted because they're worried the weapons might fall into the hands of anti-Western regimes.
For good reason, says Jeffrey Abramson of the Arms Control Association. He points out how some countries that receive U.S. military aid, like Egypt, turned out to be less stable than they appeared.
And I think when you see that instability, you start rethinking, is this the way I want to help that area become more stable? Is it by selling more arms or is it something else? And my expectation is the United States and other countries will rethink their approach and start looking at non-military ways of moving forward.
Of course, advocates of arms sales still have their arguments. Mark Kimmett is now working for a defense contractor, Advanced Technology Systems. He says selling defense equipment to another country can give the United States leverage over that government.
When we sell key components to other countries, we have a strict end-use monitoring program. And if the country turns against us, we can turn off the spigot.
The United States is by far the largest arms supplier in the world, in part because of the reputation of U.S. military manufacturing. It's one area where U.S. companies consistently beat their competitors. But defense contractors have to worry now whether those Middle Eastern governments will spend as much on U.S. weaponry going forward, or will they put more of their money into social programs instead? David Hamoud, president of the National U.S. Arab Chamber of Commerce, is traveling around the Middle East this week looking for signs that governments there are rethinking their spending priorities.
There's a lot of bubbling under the surface, I think a lot of demands from the citizens in the region. But to the best of my knowledge, that hasn't had a long-term impact yet on the defense needs of countries in the region.
But Hamoud says the Middle East story is still being written. People across the region are pushing for political and economic change. Tom Gelton, NPR News, Washington.